Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Fighter's Voice with Don McGuire, presented by Finished MMA and the United Way Merced.
Welcome to The Fighter's Voice. I'm your host, Don McGuire. You know, I'll be honest with my listeners tonight. Tonight's show is kind of a show that I'm kind of tickled to death to do. You know, I've asked Julian Lane to come on the show before. We never were able to correlate it. You know, I don't get fanboyed in this sport, as most of you know. I've been in the sport for 22 years as a photographer, but I got to tell you, when it comes to Julian Lane, I'm a little partial. And, well, we'll get into that in the interview. But first and foremost, Julian, how's it going tonight, brother?
Going well, man. How about yourself?
Well, it's been a three days of hell, man, in a quick quick nutshell. You know, I took on KOP and the racism issue with that promotion there in Michigan. You know, a lot of people don't like people who go against the grain. And in life, you know, sometimes it's necessary. You know, my purpose in life as a journalist is to get the story out there, and, you know, I can deal with just about anything, but death threats against my family and threats of burning down my home are getting a little too much, you know. But the truth to be told, and we'll move on from that, you know, that aspect of this life and this world. But what I'm more concerned about is having you on here, bro. You know, I've watched all of your fights. You've been around the sport for quite a while. You know, what makes you so passionate, Julian, about the sport that you exist in? Because you're not like a normal fighter, brother.
Yeah, you know, it's just, I started out in the sport when I was a kid, you know, just wrestling. I got into wrestling probably about 8 years old. And that's, you know, that's how I got into it, got started, and started competing, you know, sports, you know, it just kind of became like I was just like a natural at it. So, like, automatically I went, you know, straight into, like, the advanced teams and everything like that. So, you know, I was probably like, I think my first year I had like 300 wrestling matches in my first year. My first season. My mom got me in that when I was, I think, about 8 years old. You know, just like over the years, just, you know, having, you know, living life, you know what I mean? And then, you know, you get into the sport of mixed martial arts, you kind of just, you know, put everything together and just, you know, everything just falls together and, you know, it just happens for a reason, you know what I mean? And that's why I still just keep fighting. You know, whether I win or lose, man, my goal is to just, you know, make it to the top and eventually, you know, be a champion, but, you know, make money at the same time. Try to make as much money as I can, while I can, and then eventually, you know, give back to others, yeah. You know, what I know about the sport also, like teaching, you know, training other kids and stuff like that, you know, because that's another passion of mine too. So I like teaching others and showing them, you know, the ropes and stuff.
Well, I think that's a tremendous attribute. You know, it kind of leads me into my next question. You know, you can go back to 2012. You were very vocal about the relationship with your family and how boisterous your mother is. How much does it mean to you to have somebody like that in your life and that have that aspect back you in every decision and step you make in the sport?
It means a lot to me, you know, to be able to have the support, you know, from my mom and my family. And because that's what you need, like, to be great in this type of sport, you know, because if you got your hand, if you're too, you know, if you're too busy doing other things, you know, getting sidetracked or getting caught up, you know, working too many hours and stuff like that, you know, you don't make it to the gym at night or make it to the gym that day. You got to make sure you get every training session in, and to be able to have the support, you know, that helps a lot in that sport. So you definitely need that, man. It means a lot.
Yeah. You know, one thing that a lot of people probably don't realize, and I do, you fought in the Ultimate Fighter twice. You know, you go
correct.
Back to 2012, it was a tremendous attribute to your career then. Then, you know, you were in the house with a bunch of my brothers. You were in the house with Diego Lima, James Krause, Eddie Truck Gordon, Joe Daddy Stevenson, all of which are very particular good friends in my life, not just on the show, but in life. You know, and I'm glorious.
Yeah, and everybody you named right there, you know, everybody you named, you know, they're great guys, man. Good sportsmen and, you know, definitely great athletes. I look up to those guys also, man. You know, like being in the house with those guys, you know, it kind of opened my eyes of, like, my own talent, you know what I mean? And it was like, dang, I'm actually in the house with these guys, man. So
right.
Kind of like I gave myself more props, more credit than I usually do, you know. I'm really hard on myself most of the time when it comes to, you know, pretty much a lot of things in life.
Well, you know, you deserve the opportunity. Obviously, the sport thought so. Obviously, the UFC thought so. They gave you the opportunity to, you know, to redemption. You know, I did a show with all of those gentlemen prior to them going into the house. We couldn't really much talk about it, but we were talking about what second opportunities would mean to them and things of this nature. And immediately after they got out of the house, we did a recap, all of us. We did a recap together. You know, how much humility and how much knowledge did Julian Lane gain from being in the house with so much talent? You know, you talk about you gained a lot of respect and wisdom and you couldn't believe that you were in the house with them. But what did you take away from that experience?
I took a lot away from that experience, man. Just training, you know, with training in the gym, living in the house with these guys, you know, learning different aspects and, you know, and aspects of the game, like nutrition, diet, things like that. You know, I've learned a lot from those guys and things that I didn't do myself or didn't know myself, you know, because most of the time I was eating like crap, you know, or just not training the right way, overtraining, or just not doing things the right way. Because, most of the time I was just, you know, getting it on my own. So I wasn't really doing everything correctly. So, you know, I learned a lot from that. And, you know, my coaches too, man, training with Alpha Male, you know, that was a great experience. You know, one of the best experiences I've had. I mean, the best experience I've had when it comes to, you know, the show, definitely.
Yeah. And, you know, Uriah's pretty dope, bro.
Uriah's awesome, man. I love that guy.
Yeah, I'm
definitely look up to that guy, man.
You know, and I think the sport really hasn't given him the credit that he truly deserves, and I'm glad to hear fighters like yourself that I respect.
He's definitely one of my favorite fighters, man. You know, I watched coming up, so always, you know, got love for Uriah, definitely.
I love the talent aspect, you know, the group meetings and the family meetings are tremendous. But, you know, Julian, my show bounces all over, so I hope you don't mind. You know, I watched the fight with Dakota Cochran. I honestly, and I hope you don't take this wrong, it just didn't seem like Julian Lane was himself that night. It didn't seem like you really wanted to, you know, to be there. What was the situation that precluded
you
that?
You know, I felt the same way, man. That comes from, you know, like, I had a lack of training going into that fight. You know, I don't know if you heard, I broke my jaw back in March.
Yeah.
And over in England, I do bare knuckle boxing over there. And got my jaw broke in my title fight. And I had to go through 8 weeks of healing of that before I can even step on a mat, you know, or even train or spar or do anything. So there was 8 weeks that went by to where I was just, you know, well, a few of the weeks I wasn't doing much because I was in a lot of pain. But, you know, after that, after about the first month, then I got back, you know, doing basics like just, you know, getting back in shape, training, lifting weights and stuff like that. So I went to that fight, man, basically just, you know, I hit some mitts and stuff like that. I hit pads with my boy, you know, held mitts for me. My dude Andre, you know, held pads for me leading up to the fight. But other than that, I wasn't on the mat for 2 months or I didn't spar for 2 months, you know. And, you know, but I definitely had the cardio to go 15 minutes in a fight. And that fight was 8 weeks from the time I had my surgery, and it takes 8 weeks for your jaw to heal. So I wasn't even supposed to be in that fight, man. I just, you know, got it checked. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I feel you on that because, like I said, I look at the sport. I mean, you know, and it's funny because I look at it way different than everybody else, I think, because I've been in it so long. You know, I look at fighters that are willing to stand and bang, you know, ones that, you know, want to bring it.
Right.
And that's the type of fighter you are. What?
Oh, yeah, I definitely went into that fight, you know, trying to scrap. And, you know, he took me to the ground, you know what I mean, a couple times. I think it was about three. He got about three takedowns, I think. But, you know, came out strong, but just got caught, man. I wasn't going to sit there and try to fight a choke, you know, because my, you know, just had my jaw.
Yeah.
You know, like, it was exactly 8 weeks from the time I got surgery, man. So, like, I wasn't trying to, you know, risk nothing. I was just trying to make it in and out, and, you know, safe without getting hurt, you know, just get paid. And that's the first time I've done that, you know what I mean? So,
oh, you know,
and I stepped up because nobody else would step up and fight Dakota either, you know what I mean? So, like, he's sitting out there without an opponent, and I was just like, you know what, I'll do it, man. It is what it is. They hit me up, so, like, I was like, I'll do it.
And I'm glad that you did because, you know, I have a brother that comes on here all the time, Syed Awad. And if you remember the fight that he had against Brendan Warden Bellator, I can't remember which Bellator it was. If you think about that show, you know, Syed Awad looks at Brendan Ward and says, are we here to hug each other or are we here to go to war? And that's the intent from Julian Lane each and every time that he goes into the cage. Who inspired that in you, or was that just a natural ability that you felt that you needed to bring to your game?
Well, like, when I first started fighting, man, it's like I kind of eased up a bit the last few fights, but, like, when I first started fighting, man, I used to just go wall to wall, I just gassed myself out, dude. I tell you, if you made it past the first round, you'd probably get me, you know what I mean? But if you made it past that first round, he was a badass dude, man.
Right.
I was just fucking coming out snapping, man. But, you know, then you get smarter and you get more technical. But, you know, some fights, you need to go that way anyway to get the win. You know what I mean? A lot of guys, you know, you put pressure on them and they don't do as well as if you just kind of take your time with them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, yeah, my inspiration, you know, was, I would say, you know, Chuck Liddell, man, because that's all I watched, you know, back in the day growing up, Chuck Liddell, Kimbo Slice fights. So, like, those are the kind of guys I like to watch fight, man. So, you know, I'm going to perform that way, man, because I know what kind of fights people like to watch, and at the same time, you know, I'm not scared to throw hands, you know what I mean? I'm fucking former bare-knuckle champ of the world.
That's exactly, you know, my point, and that's what I was getting to. You know, there's not an aspect of this sport that Julian Lane hasn't positioned himself into. Where do you feel that you're the most comfortable, and where do you feel that will take you to the place that you truly need to be, Julian? Because it just doesn't seem like you're satisfied enough with one aspect of the sport.
I just mix it up, man. It's like, you know, I just open a lot of doors, you know, try to take, you know, every opportunity I can, but, you know, there's a time and a point where I'm going to have to just, you know, just focus on one thing, probably, and just pursue it and finish off my career, man, because I'm 30 now, so I would just say, you know, take a guess, maybe 35. I'll probably have 5 years, you know, to just make a good run at it and try to do the best I can, man, so... But I'm the Ring of Combat champion, you know what I mean? Out in New Jersey, so I'm going to defend my belt. July 28th,
man. July 28th, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
I might have to make it out there for that one, you know, because so, I don't know what it is.
Philadelphia, man.
Yeah, my boys are in Philly, man. Actually, Matt Squabbles in the music side and the Young King on the music side. Our two gentlemen that I do in my music aspect that just got honors for 2017 for Lyricist of the Year and Breakout Artist of the Year. Philly's popping, bro. You know, and I think
yeah,
this is going to actually be the year for Julian Lane. You know,
my time's coming, dude, because I'm not stopping, man. I'm telling you, like, there's, you know, a lot of my fights, you know, I slacked off. Like, I lost that fight, got my jaw broke, man. Lost the belt. But guess what, man? I didn't really, you know, have much time to really put effort into the gym and train and stuff like that because, like, I had a lot going on. I was working, you know, working a job and, you know, doing other things, side jobs and stuff like that, trying to make money. So I didn't really have time to, like, train to defend my belt. You know, if I was smart, I wouldn't have took the fight, honestly. But I did it anyway because I got balls, man. You know what I mean? I ain't scared. And it is what it is. I'm just, you know, I just let life take it, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I just go for the ride, man. I just ride the wave, man. So,
that's what I love about it. You know, you kind of remind me of somebody that was ultimately in and out of the last Ultimate Fighter house with you, but as a guest, and that being Tim Elliott. You know, he's...
Okay.
You say what you want. You have your own style. You're persistent when you see something that you want in life, and you go for it. And there's very few warriors that are truly like that. You know, one thing that stymied me when you look at your career, you know, you had an opportunity in Bellator 118. It got canceled.
Right.
Where,
that was with who was that?
Anthony Morrison.
Okay, yeah, Anthony Morrison, okay. I don't know. Yeah, that was crazy. Dude, I cut the 151 pounds for that fight, man. And that's another thing. I took that fight on 3-week notice. And when I took the fight, I was 186. And I said yes to the fight at featherweight. Then they called me back like, hey, you sure you can make featherweight? Or you want to catch weight? I'm like, dude, I don't need to catch weight, honestly. But I was going to try to make the weight. So I ended up getting at 151, and I actually made weight. So I showed up to fight, made weight, but unfortunately, Morrison got hurt, so he didn't fight. But
okay,
I cut that much weight in 3 weeks.
that's a lot of weight, too, bro, because, you know, that's an issue that has always, you know, I look at Zach Cummings. He walks around at 230, fights at 170. It's like, bro, how do you do this? You know, how do you do it? Your kidneys are going to die someday. But
oh, yeah.
On
I don't
a serious
realize
note.
I thought, wait, man, a couple times.
Yeah,
freaking,
right.
You know, so, like, that's why I don't cut the lightweight anymore. You know, I just fight middleweight and welterweight. So, just, you know, but who knows, man. I might go back down a lightweight. I might make a run again on lightweight, you know.
I would love to see you in Bellator, bro. You know, I'll be quite honest with you, you know, because I know Rich Cho and Scott Coker and a lot of them listen to my show, you know.
Yeah, hey, if you're listening, man, send me a, you know, message. Hit me up, man. I'll definitely love to fight for Bellator, man.
Oh, yeah. No,
I'm 1-0 with Bellator right now, man. You know, I'm still 1-0. I fought on Bellator 66. When,
way back in the day.
Yeah, Eddie Alvarez fought Aoki. Can't see one.
Yeah, see, one thing people need to realize that, you know, Julian, you've been around since, well, hell, 2011, basically, as a pro, you know, and you can go back before that as an amateur. So,
right.
I mean, you truly are a veteran of all aspects of the sport. You know, here comes a kind of different question for you, bro. When Julian Lane gets that opportunity and he looks over his shoulder. Did you ever surmise or think that you'd be where you're at today, not just in the sport but in life?
At the moment, like where I'm standing right now.
Yeah. Are you content? Yeah, with the path that you took.
Yes, because you know, yes, but I would never. You know, I couldn't change it. You know, I couldn't change what happened. Because it's the past, man. Anything that happened in the past, you know. And I'm happy now. You know, I got 3 beautiful kids. You know, You got my mom, my dad still, so, like, everything's good, man. Like, life is good. And mainly my kids, man. That's what I live for, man. But, like, no, I'm not, like, satisfied financially, no. Like, I want to be in the UFC, man, or Bellator, or, like, a mainstream show like that, man. Get a shot at the title. You know,
I think you deserve it.
Shine in the UFC. Yeah, I think I deserve it, man. I've been in the game long enough. I just, you know, I know if I take my training serious and more serious and start getting in the gym harder and not slacking off in camp and actually get a full camp, you know, which I really never have had for a fight out of 40 fights or however many I have. I've probably never had a camp. I've never had more than 4 weeks to get ready for a fight, counting the Ultimate Fighter. So, like, it's just like, you know, I always, like, have a fight, and then I'll take time off, and then I'll start training, and then, or somebody will call me on short notice when I'm taking time off and be like, hey, you want to fight? And I'm like, yeah, it's good, you know, but that's just a little dumb mistakes. But I don't think they're mistakes, man. You know, it's just experience. Just learning lessons, man, that taught me in life, and it just makes me better, that's all, you know?
Yeah. Well, you were in the house with James Krause, you know. I made a reference to this earlier in the day, you know, and it sits with me with you. You know, somebody did a Q&A with him, and I watched Professor Krause get a little, you know, perturbed with him. They said, how does it feel to be 22-7? He said, let's get one thing clear. He said, I'm not 22-7. I'm 22-0 with 7 lessons learned. You know, and I got to agree with him. How does Julian Lane look at that analogy?
Oh, yeah, definitely lessons learned. Because I'm like, man, I used to put so much pressure on myself, and I feel like if I had the mindset I have now, like when I was, you know, like on the show or especially the first time, you know, like I definitely feel a lot better. You know, like to me, like losing is just like a mindset, man. So it's just, you know, winning and losing is just a state of mind, you know.
Yeah.
You just
know, Julian,
it and it builds you. It builds your character. It builds you as a person, as a human, man. It teaches you knowledge. So, like, it just builds experience, man. And it's something you can give to somebody else one day, you know. That's why I'm going to turn it into, like, maybe have my own gym one day and give all everything I know. You know, my students and try to build a team, you know, that I create. Maybe that's what I'm supposed to do, you know, maybe in the end I'm you know, learning all these, getting all this experience and going through all these, you know, up in this roller coaster ride, man, maybe just so, you know, I could teach to someone else when they're teaching the right thing to do, you know what I mean? And I'm cool with that too.
Yeah, you know, and I feel you because You look at life, you've done a lot in the sport. You've done many aspects. You know, you're 30 now, bro. I just turned 53, but you're 30, and I know that thought process in life. So what does it feel for Julian Lane? What would it feel like for Julian Lane, is the best way to put it, to create a legacy, you know, to build upon the legacy that you've already started and create that aspect, not just for your children, but future aspects of your family and friends to look back and look back and be proud of you and look at the story that you created in the book that you wrote?
Oh, man, that's a deep question right there, man. But, you know, like a short answer, you know, just short, sweet, like just, you know, finish what I started, man, and, you know, take it serious and, you know, get back to, you know, my old ways of training, you know, I feel like get back to overtraining or find a team, you know what I'm saying? I have a team down in New Jersey, you know, I have a team out there. I just, you know, link up with a few guys and just get on the right page, man. Like, I need to put myself in a camp, man. Like, legit, like 8 weeks, 10 weeks, you know, hard training and just make a serious run for it, man. Like, you know, quit all the extra stuff on the side, man. No, you know, no partying or anything like that, man. You know, just take it serious and, you know, make a run for it, man, and finish what I started, man. I got I say 5 more years, but you know, we'll see. You know what I mean? But
hey, man, look at Tony Lopez, bro. He's 43 and fighting 3 times a month. You know.
Right.
I think the sport tells us when it's done with us. I don't think we decide that.
Definitely. But you know, I'm looking at like my prime time. You know what I'm saying? Yeah,
yeah.
Like my prime years. So I would, you know, that's the best time to do it, I would say. But
you
I'm
know,
definitely gonna make a run for it, man. I'm, you know, I always, you know, I fall, you know, I might climb, because I've been at the top plenty of times. You know what I mean? I'm like, I've snatched titles when I didn't feel like. Like my last 2 titles I won, you know, I wasn't in the best shape of my life, man, but, you know, mentally I was. Like, I went there with a good mindset, man, and I won 2 belts. You know, I became the bare knuckle champ of the world, and then I became the Ring of Combat champion. And, you know, I didn't have the best camp leading up to that, but, like, I used the mindset. I had the good mindset, man. But, you know, I need to have that mindset, and I need to have that training, too, you know, so.
Yeah.
And I'm not done, man. I'm telling you, dude. Just wait it out, dude. Like, I might lose that fight to Dakota, man. But honestly, man, I can beat Dakota, man. Like, I shouldn't have lost that fight like that, man. Honestly, dude. It wasn't, like you said, that wasn't me, man. But, and I'm not going to make excuses or take nothing from the guy, you know what I mean? It was his night or whatever. But, you know, I know deep down, I know what I'm capable of doing. And I know I didn't, you know, put that effort in. You feel what I'm saying? I didn't put that effort. So it'd be times like that. That happens, but watch. I'm about to bounce back, man, and I'll be right back at the top here before you know it, man. And I'll be shining again, man.
And I already know this, bro. Like I said, I'm honored I got you on the show. You know, a lot of people, they want to go and, you know, oh, well, you got to watch this fighter. No, you got to watch the fighters that truly love the sport. You gotta watch.
Yeah.
I'm not saying the other ones don't, but you're one of them grit and grind fighters that just, man, bro, I'll be honest with you, you caught my attention a long time ago, and to see you walk in the cage or a ring or whatever the hell it is, man, I mean, you bring it, and that's something that one of the main reasons why I'm a fan of yours, and I'm not a fan of really any fighters, but there's a few that I am, and I'll be the first to admit I'm a Julian Lane fan because.
Heck yeah.
What you do is tremendous. Now, you know, you mentioned you got your title shot coming up, what is it, July 25th. Why don't you let my listeners know where they can get tickets or, you know, any information you got about
July 28th, actually.
Okay.
July 28th, it's in Philadelphia at the Sugar Creek or Sugar House Casino or something like that. Just type in Sugar Casino in Philly or something like that. You'll find it. I think it's Sugar House. But,
yeah, because they don't even have it listed, bro, and I apologize for that.
It's okay.
But
no problem, man. Yeah, just check it out, man. I'll be fighting Andre. No, not Andre. What's his name? I can't think of it at this minute, man. That's crazy.
Like
I don't even
dude.
Know the opponent. You know, I forget his name a lot. Like people ask me his name, and I'll be forgetting, man. It's just give me a second. Man. Yeah, I don't know. Anyways, but just check it out.
Man.
Yeah,
it don't matter, man.
He's a, you know, up and coming dude. You know, one of the sucker punch entertainment dudes. You know what I mean? So it's gonna be a big win for me, man. So
you know,
I got it. It's Sean Brady, man. Sean Brady.
Sean Brady.
Yeah. So check us out, man. July 28th. It'd be a good
step. Yeah, it is. It's a good step for you because it'll show the world, you know, that Julian Lane. Still is that formidable beast that we truly all know
sure,
you
man.
Are. You know,
yeah,
the aspect.
And it sucks, too, man, because, like, you know, a lot of my fights that get caught on camera, man, aren't my best performances, man, even, like, my wins, you know? So, a couple of my fights, you know, I haven't gotten caught on camera, you know? From here on out, man, I'm just going to be highlight reels, knockouts, man, chokeouts, whatever. So, definitely coming for finishes, man. I'm, you know, looking to finish fights from here out, man. It's like, you know, no more of these decisions. You know, I can't be letting these judges, you know, determine my future, my career. You know what I mean?
That's on the real right there. You know, Julian, I got one more Barbara Walters type question for you, man. But
I bet.
When you look at all that you've achieved and all the you know, I like to call it pride, passion, and perseverance that you've had to go through. What does the sport truly mean to Julian Lane at the end of the day?
The sport means, it means like, it means, it's my life, man. Like, it, you know, saved my life a long time ago. It got me out of getting in trouble, man. Like, I was a knucklehead as a kid and this and that. Started, you know, it taught me discipline. It changed my whole life, man, my whole perspective on life. And definitely taught me, you know, gave me something to actually, like, follow and try to capture, man. And actually, you know, like I said, I've come this far and I've done all this. It's done a lot for me, man, and took my, and distracted me from all the bad that maybe could have happened in my life, you know. And it kept my mind focused on, you know, fighting and all that. And I had time to think about doing all the other stuff that I was doing before. So it just, it's definitely a blessing from God, man, you know.
It truly is. Hey, Julian, if I get you to make one more statement, you know, there's a lot of, you have a huge fan base, bro, and I think
right.
It's tremendous when a fighter like yourself has such a tremendous fan base and backing, you know, so before we get to the sponsors and all that, if there's a statement that you'd like to make to the people who have supported Julian Lane all the way up to this point in your career, the people that have backed you, the people that have truly stood by you and believed in you, if you would like to make a statement of thanks to those people, the floor is yours, my friend.
Yeah, you know, I just want to give a thanks and shout out to, you know, all my fans, all my friends, all my family, my supporters, everybody who hits me up on Facebook, everybody who messages me on Facebook, Instagram, you know, and just on social media or anything, just come and contact me in person, you hang out with me, you know, if you know you're my friend, you know what I mean, and you really fuck with me. You know, much love to everybody who really supports me, man, and every, you know, who really means it, and even everybody else, you know, who posts negative stuff, you know, shout out to them too, man, keeping my name ringing, and, you know, I'm going to keep fighting, man, and, you know, I'm not, you know, all my fans out there, you know, who support me, you know, and root for me every fight, I'm just letting y'all know, man. I'm making a comeback, and I'm not done. I'm going to finish what I started, and, you know, we're going to make everybody eat their fucking words, you know what I mean? So,
right.
Just stay ready, you know, just have faith, man, you know what I mean? Just think positive, and just know that I'm going to do the right thing this time, and I'm going to train hard, man, and focus on my career and try to, you know, definitely go from here on out, try to stay undefeated, you know? And hopefully get a title shot, man. Get in UFC, man. Really? Shit. Somebody. Bellator, UFC. Somebody need to hit me up, man.
They
need to, because I'm, you know, I'm the show right here. They can make, if they want to make some money, they know who to call, man. That's for sure.
Sean Shelby.
They ain't going to need to call Brock Lesnar, man. Call Julian, man. I'm a lot cheaper than Brock Lesnar, too. I'm a lot more affordable.
I love it, bro. You know, Julian, it was truly an honor. I mean, like I said, I'm not a fan of many fighters.
I thought you were bringing up the Levy Bangbo shit, man. What's up?
What's that?
You don't want to get that out? I'm surprised you asked me about the season 12, man.
Go ahead, bro.
Bring
it up.
I'm like, man, because everybody asked me about that. But no, that's cool, though, yo. That's what's up, though. I respect that, though. That's the first one, you know, not to, like, bring something up like that, but, you know, I thought I could get mad about it, but, like, that's cool, though.
No, say what you gotta say, bro.
No, I'm just saying, like from that season, like, you could tell, like, I matured through the second season. Like, the first time I was on there, man, I got drunk and acted stupid and shit, and fucking.
Oh, yeah, you know why? Because that's
people.
Irrelevant. That's irrelevant.
Yeah.
That's not who Julian Lane is, man. Julian
right.
Lane's a dude that steps up in the cage and handles business.
Sure.
See,
sure.
I'm not a Wikipedia tapology show, man. I do shows, and sometimes I don't even bring up fighters' records, you know, because
right.
to me, records are irrelevant, man. I'll say one thing before I let you go here, homie. I've seen dudes that are 25-2 step in the cage with guys that are 6-9 and get knocked the fuck out.
Right.
So, it's anybody's game when you step up in that cage and the door locks. It, you know, records are irrelevant. You know, it's
right.
who has the greatest heart and passion that night when you step up in the cage. Bringing up derogatory things from, you know, things that you did when you were younger and things of that nature. Who hasn't had those issues in life, bruh? I've had them. We've all had them, man. We all grow up. Julian Lane today is a warrior, man. And that's why I said I'm not a fan of many fighters, but I'm a fan of yours. You know, the reason I am is because...
That's what's up, man. I'm a fan of yours now, too, man. So I'm definitely going to, you know, keep following you, too, man. Showing you some support and you love to, man.
Well, the honor was truly mine to have you on the show tonight. I'm going to pass the microphone over to you, bro. If you got any sponsors, friends or family, social media sites, or just anything else that you'd like to add to the program, the floor is yours, Julian.
Okay, thanks, man. You can follow me on Twitter at Julian Lane MMA. All my social media is pretty much the same, Julian Lane MMA for Instagram, Julian Lane MMA on Snapchat and Twitter. So if you want to follow me there. And, yeah, it's, you know, I got a few sponsors, Ontario Motors, shout out to them. They hooked me up, you know, with the nice cars and stuff. And shout out to my boy Bob for looking out. That's my dude. He started his own promotion out here, man. So, man, they're going to start up and coming, putting on fights and stuff. So, you know, they're gonna be getting big here soon, hopefully, man. And, you know, everybody out here chasing their dreams, man. And all the fighters out there, man, amateurs, pros, you know, supporters. I mean, much love to all you guys, man. I hope you all, you know, have wonderful careers, man, and just train hard, man, and focus and take it serious, man. Don't just play games. So that's all I got to say to y'all, man. Get the business done, man. Get right to business, bro. Handle that shit, man.
That's what I'm saying. You know, Rich Cho, Scott Coker, Ian Matthews, you need to get this boy on a Bellator card. I'm telling you.
Yeah, I want to shout out to my boy Dante Rivera, too, man. Shout out to Dante Rivera out in New Jersey, Freehold, New Jersey. Bulldogs, strength and conditioning out in Freehold, New Jersey. You know, those are the guys that, you know, always come through, man, always come through. Jonathan Ballgame out west, that's my boy. He's my Muay Thai instructor. He's definitely a beast, man. So if you're out on the West Coast and Vegas area and you want to go, you know, get your Muay Thai skills up, kickboxing skills, go to Fight Capital Gym, you know, on the West Coast. If you're on the East Coast, go to Dante Rivera, BJJ, man. Get your gist right, man. MMA, all that, man. That's a wonderful place, man. These guys are great out there, man. You got guys like Corey Anderson, Frankie Edgar training with you. So.
Frankie's all a beast. Guys like that, man. Cool dude. Yeah, Frankie's a good dude, too. Well, Julian, it was truly an honor to have you on, man. Like I said, I've been trying for a year now.
It's been an honor, man. Thank you.
I'm glad I was able to get you on. And you see how we roll, man. We give the fighters a voice. We don't bring up all that drama and that BS that doesn't need to be heard, you know. A lot of people think that bringing up hype from the past is creating a show, man. It's not doing nothing for the sport. It's not doing nothing for the future or the fighter. With that being said, bro, I am going to want a shirt from you one of these days. I'll tell you that much. I want an autographed shirt from you.
Send me an address or P.O. Box or whatever, man. I'll throw you one in the mail. So. You know, make sure you send me a text after you get off the call or whatever.
I'll rock that with pride, bro, because you truly have made a difference in this sport. You're a tremendous veteran, and you deserve all the credit you get. Thanks again, Julian, for joining the show.
Thank you, man.
You have a tremendous evening, brother. God bless.
You too. Thanks for listening, everybody.
And that dude right there is one fighter I do respect. He's bad. You got to go watch his career, man. Well, we're running a little behind, so we're going to jump to Reese Archer. One hit.
You have reached the voicemail box of 2693.
Well, you know what? I guess we'll take a quick intermission. He might be on the television interview that he was supposed to do, but we'll take a brief intermission from my sponsors, the 86ers, and when we come back, hopefully we'll have Reese Archer.
Bone of the Mo Thugs movement, born of the Bone Thugs and Harmony family tree, the 86ers brand ambassador. Check it out though, listen. In a world full of followers, be proud to be different. Be an 86er. So what I need y'all to do is go to the 86ers.net. We got the dopest apparel, men and women. Everything you need for a fresh start. I'm talking tees, zip-ups, tanks, hoodies, and the best hats at a price nobody can match. I'm going to ask you this, though. what do your clothes say about you? If you don't know, come to the 86ers.net and find yourself out. And a special shout out to Don McGuire, the host of the Fighter's Voice. Salute, big homie.
Yes, we're going to go ahead and try to give Researcher a call one more time. I just got a call from another number. It might be, matter of fact, he's going to answer the phone right now, so we'll get him on here right now. That's the wonderful thing about live radio.
You have reached the voicemail box of 2693.
I think I got to call him at a different number, but that's good. We'll go ahead and get him on. Maybe his phone has died. Okay, he's trying to answer the phone, so let's go ahead and try it one more time. I believe I put in the correct phone number. I think we're going to hit pay dirt this time.
Hello?
Hey, Reese, this is Don McGuire with the Fighter's Voice. How you doing, brother?
How you doing, brother? I'm sorry. Sorry, I was getting ice cream.
He said I was getting ice cream. No, you got to do an interview and brother getting ice cream.
No, I was sitting by the phone. That's what's so crazy, because I was really sitting by the phone the whole time, waiting for you to call, and I was like, let me go get Steve's ice cream cone. And then you so happened to call. I was so mad. And I got the phone there with the phone. I'm like, oh, man, I hope you don't think I'm playing.
Well, it's all good, bro. No, we're good. You know, Reese, one of the reasons why I brought you on the show is what you've done in the sport is tremendous. You know, you're a gentleman that's very passionate about the sport. Your love for the sport is undying. What was life like for a young researcher that ultimately led him on this path to the sport you know and love today?
Well, fighting for me was really like really natural. I started off fighting. I guess my whole life was always a struggle for real. So, like from day one, my mom abandoned me when I was like 2 years old. So, and me and my brothers and sisters, or my sister and my brother, she abandoned us, and that's when the struggle really became tough for me. And it became real. And as a kid, you go through a lot of feelings that your parents make you feel comfortable with. You know what I mean? Where a guy like me, I didn't have any of that comfort. I didn't get that security. I didn't get that love. I didn't get that pat on the back. Good job, buddy. You know. So life was really hard for me. You know what I mean? I grew up fighting. Like basically every day was a fight for me, for real. Like I had to fight for my position in life, period. And I'm still fighting me to this day.
Yeah, and I believe that's a tremendous attribute to you. You know, I've got to know you over the last couple of days. I looked at your career, and my man, you know, what you bring to the cage is tremendous. What aspect of you decided as a young man that this is what you were going to make the future of Researcher B? You know, you look at a lot of these people, you know, they talk about, oh, well, I'm a fighter, but then you look at them and they work at a restaurant and they might train once or twice a week. But in the aspects of Researcher, you took this to heart. This is your only job. This is what you make a living off of. What does this sport mean to you, not just as a warrior, but as a man trying to make a name for yourself in this business?
Man, it's everything to me. It's all I got. Fighting for me is my job. When I had my daughter, that's where it changed for me. Like when my daughter was born, I realized life was serious, and I had to make a conscious choice on where I was going to put my energy and what I was going to direct, where I was going to start directing that to, because I was taking my energy out on the wrong people. So I had to direct that. I was never a bad guy. I always wanted attention. You know what I mean? I wanted positive attention, so I wanted to do something positive and get positive attention. And this MMA thing started, and I took my first amateur fight in Comstock, Michigan. No, it was Schoolcraft. At, a promotion called West Michigan Wars in Michigan. And it was my first amateur fight. It was April 12th of 2012. And from that moment on, I took off with it. And I've been fighting. Like I said, I've been fighting my whole life. So it was like fighting was kind of natural, but a lot of things about MMA I didn't know. And I was curious to learn, and I wanted to learn. And I think that's what made it easy for me to be in the sport because, I'm like I told people, I'm a fast learner. You know what I mean? I might not know some things, but once I get to doing it and I catch on, I'm quick. And it becomes natural for me. So I just took it to heart and I just like, I got to do that. That's what I got to do.
Yeah, you know, the quite tremendous thing about you is I watched an excerpt on you earlier. You know, and if you're wondering, like I put in my post, you know, all I put was one hit after your name. And, you know, you look at your fight career, look at the devastation that you caused in the cage. You truly do bring the power. What is it that allows Reese Archer to flick that switch on and off? Because I know you away from the cage, and I've seen what you can do in the cage. And honestly, you're two different people. You know, what allows you to flick that switch once the cage door locks, my brother?
Well, that's crazy you say that because that's exactly how I look at myself. Like a switch. Like, you know when you walk in your house and you know when you flick the light switch on, you know your light's going to come on? That's how fighting is for me. I don't have to – a lot of people have to be, like, hyped up and be forced into a situation or – They got a lot of people pushing them to do it. You know what I mean? For me, it's really like breathing. It's just like you go walk in the house, you go flick that switch, and I get to be the person. I get to be the person that's socially acceptable in the cage, and I get praised for that, win or lose. And that's what it is for me. And I can live with that. You know, because it's better to get acceptance doing something positive than trying to get acceptance doing something negative. You know.
Yeah, I feel
you're paying people. They're paying people to fight. I'm like, hey, let me get paid to fight. I think I can fight. I think I can do that. Let me do that. I'm good at that. I know I'm good at that.
Well, it's obvious you're good at it. Your last three fights that you had scheduled have all been canceled. You know, and how hard is it on a fighter that dedicates his life to the sport, loves the sport so much, gets into each and every training camp, only to have the fight be canceled and not be able to partake in it? What does it do to a fighter's mindset?
Well, for me, the only reason my last fight got canceled was because I took an injury. I took an injury 8 days before my fight, and I had ended up tearing my meniscus and straining my MCL, my ACL. So I ended up having surgery like 4 weeks ago. So I'm still kind of in recovery right now. But my other fight when I was healthy and I was training, it was just like, it was weird because it was the first time I ever was on a card and I had a full training camp. You know, most people normally, they want to call 2-3 weeks before the show and then when they had a show, and they'd be like, hey, you want to fight? You know, I love to fight. So I'm going to do it anyway because I need that. I got to release that inside the cage. I need to let this person do what he does. So, and this is what I train for. And I train to be ready at all times. Whenever, wherever the fight goes, I should be ready.
Yeah, I think you definitely need to be out of Michigan. I think what you've created in the life of Reese Archer is tremendous. You know, I kind of want to get your thoughts. I want to go back to your pro debut. You faced a gentleman in the name of Mo Williams, and you won that fight. What was your greatest takeaway from that fight moving forward into the career of Reese Archer?
That I can do anything. That is real. That I'm here, and there's nothing nobody can do to stop me. That I actually succeeded at doing something successful for the second time in my life, you know, so, or the third time, if I really get to counting, but not too many times I have too many times in my life where I can really be proud of myself, you know, for doing something. And when I did that, that was a moment. Like, I knocked people out plenty of times. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, that wasn't, like, the first time I knocked somebody out. That's not why my name is one part. You know what I mean? But at that moment, at my pro debut, that was where it was. I knew that what I got is special and it's real, because the whole time I used to think when I used to knock people out, it was fake, and I used to think people was faking. But when I knocked Mo Williams out, and he was ranked like number 5 or number 6 or something like that in Michigan, and they called me on a 2 weeks notice, thinking that I was sitting on my couch, not knowing that I just came off of 2 or 3 big wins from King of the Cage. And I'm like, yeah, I'll definitely take that fight. And I was definitely, and I knew I was ready. You know what I mean? I knew everybody was counting me out. I knew they were talking about me like, yeah, he's going to lose. He's not ready. But people knew what was going to happen. Like, the real people, they knew. They could say it was lucky all you want, but it ain't luck when you do this. Like, I do this. And when I knocked out Mo, that was just a testament to what I really do. I apologize. That's my buddy.
It's all right. It's an open show anyway. It doesn't matter, man. You know, whatever happens in the background is cool, bro. You know,
okay.
When we look at life and we look at ourselves, a lot of times it's easy to let others' judgments, you know, cross our path or hinder us. But when Reese Archer looks at, and I'm going to give you 3 words, and I want you to give me your definition of how they've affected you. What does pride, passion, and perseverance mean to Reese Archer?
Pride, passion, perseverance. Those are words and morals of a man with integrity. That's what any man should live by. He should not be too prideful, you know what I mean? But you should definitely be a man of morals and have some type of pride, you know? Because how could you not be prideful and stand up for anything, you know? So you got to be a man of some type of pride, you know? And passion, that's how you have empathy for others, you know? You can't be passionate about anything if you don't have empathy. So what I do is I put passion in it because it's all I got. So I put my pain and my love and everything I got, all my energy, into fighting, especially when it's time to go in the cage and it's time to turn it on. You know what I mean? Like, for a lot of people, I hear a lot of people say that. I listen to a lot of fighters talk. And a lot of fighters say similar things, but only a few select people really know what that switch is. You know, that switch that you were speaking of, like,
yeah.
And not many people know that. I just go in there and I turn it on. And for me, it's easy because it's, I guess I've been in a lot of situations where I had to turn that switch on. So now I have, and when you've been the man of being held accountable, you know how to control the switch.
Yeah.
So the switch becomes on and off whenever I want it to be.
Yeah, it truly does. You know, the reason I asked that question is because you have had a hard life. And, you know, people are quick to pass judgment on people because they don't have understanding. They don't have that aspect because they've never lived it. How was Reese Archer able to take the aspect of the hard part of your life and turn it into relevancy and create something good for yourself in the sport?
I think the hard part of my life is just like a ball of energy. That's how I use it. I just use it like a ball of energy that I put into a place where I pull it out when I can train. And that's why it doesn't matter what type of position I'm in right now, because I can access this energy anytime I want, and it ain't nothing nobody can do about it. And when I turn on, it ain't no turning it off. And that's why I can't wait for my comeback, because I'm going to put my all and everything I got into my comeback. And people are going to hate me, or they're going to love me, or it doesn't even matter, because I'm not doing it for them, because it's about me at the end of the day. You know what I mean? So I got to do this for me, because at the end of the day, I've been by myself my whole life. Nobody's been there for me. Nobody's doing anything for me for real. You know what I mean? Like, at the end of the day, I have my back. I can depend on me. So
I like that.
That's what I take in the cage with me. That's why the switch is so real. And it's just so easy for me to access because there's nothing for me to grab that energy at any time I want.
Yeah, you know, I truly feel you on that. You know, one thing I admired about you is we have a mutual friend. You know, he truly is the voice of Michigan, and that's Johnny O, Johnny Ortiz. You know, I had a conversation with him a couple days ago, and he spoke very highly of you. He said you truly reminded him of a businessman to a certain aspect, almost like, you know, Floyd Mayweather. What does it mean for Reese Archer, coming from the life that you did, now creating a name for yourself in the sport, to have somebody that is truly respected say that he looks at you as a businessman, somebody that's walking or wanting to create greatness such as Floyd Mayweather has? How does it feel to have somebody see that in you?
It makes me feel appreciated, and it makes me feel great, you know, because that's somebody's watching. That let me know somebody's watching me, and they're expecting me to do good, and that's what I need when I got nobody else to motivate me, you know, to know that somebody's looking at me to be greater than what I come from, because that's what I believe in myself, that I can be that great 1%, you know. So that's what I'm aiming for. I'm aiming for the stars, the moon, the sun, all that. I'm aiming for the impossible. I believe in the impossible. I can make it happen.
And I believe you can make it happen, too. You know, my show has a tremendous track record on getting fighters placed in the sport, and the Lord has blessed me in many ways, and the sport has blessed me in many ways in that aspect. You know, what would it mean to Reese Archer to have somebody such as Bellator or ACB or even Lion Fights reach out to you and give you an opportunity in a much bigger promotion?
Oh, it would definitely mean the world to me. It would be a dream come true, because that means I'm that one step closer to where I want to be. So,
you know,
it's definitely everything.
Yeah, it truly is. You know, I'm going to ask you kind of an off-the-wall topic question. I ask it periodically on my show with particular guests. But if Reese Archer had to put down on a piece of paper, you know, with the thoughts that you have right now in your heart and in your head about what this sport means to you, to be put into a time capsule for future generations to open it up and get a thought or just a remembrance of Reese Archer the man, what would that statement be?
It would be, no matter where you come from, no matter what people tell you, and I know people tell people that you might have heard it before, but it's true. If you believe in something, you hold it dear, close to your heart, and you don't let nobody take it from you. And you believe in it with all your might, and you put your all into it, you will succeed. You don't let people tell you what you can't do, because who are them to tell you you can't do anything? I don't let nobody tell me I can't do something. You know what I mean? When they tell me I can't do something, I mean I can do something, or you couldn't do it, so you didn't do it. So that means, I'm not going to let anybody place their fears on me at all. Like, I don't believe in I can't. I don't live by that. If you're telling me I can't, that just means I know I can. And I'm going to try even harder to prove that person wrong that told me I couldn't do it, or it couldn't be done, or it can't be done. That's why I can't quit. That's why I won't stop. That's why I can never give up, and that's why nobody should never stop. You should never let anybody keep you down. You should stay motivated. Always hold your head high, even in the moments of weakness and when you're down by yourself, you know?
Yeah, I truly do. You know, Reese, when you get that rare opportunity, and, you know, we all do it. We all do it in life, and it's kind of weird in some aspects because I don't think anybody ever understands it. You know, we walk by a car window. We walk by a puddle in a path, and we get a reflection of who we are in that split instance. Who does Reese Archer see, not just as a warrior, but as a man in that aspect?
I think I'm a businessman before I'm anything, because I have to be able to think before I do anything. So I'm a businessman, I'm a fighter, I'm a father, I'm a brother, I'm a son, I'm an uncle, I'm a nephew, I'm a cousin. You know, I'm a brother, you know, I'm a friend the most, enemy the most. I don't know. I'm just Reese.
You're real. That's what you are. You know, what would it, you know, in the most inopportune way, and I know I'm going to kind of put you on the spot here, but, you know, I know the obstacles you've been against. I know where your life has been, and I know certain aspects about you. What would it truly mean to you for someone like Bellator to just reach out to you? What would that opportunity truly do for the life of Reese Archer?
Man, it would definitely put me in a better position than I'm in now. It would change my world. My whole world would change, because that's the next level. And I think I'm ready for the next level. I don't call myself one punch for nothing. I fear no man. There's no man on earth I fear. So Bellator is an opportunity and a test to be able to prove that I'm ready for the next level.
I think you're ready for the next level too, my friend. I think you've proven it. See, you know, a lot of people, you know, will sit there and look at the sport, and you know, they make rash judgments about fighters without even knowing much about fighters. But at the end of the day, the complexity of the situation is, it's the fighter that has the passion, the fighter that creates the greatness in his life. And I see you bringing that in all angles. I see a young man who's growing up who understands life and appreciates the sport that much more. You know, at the end of the day, what you're doing in the sport is to be commended, because I just don't bring it. I'll be honest with you, bro. I just don't bring anybody on my show. You know, for me to have you on my show means I respect you. You know, I bring a lot of up-and-comers on my show. I bring a lot of other different aspects of the sport on my show. But I build my show with my heart. You know, I know a lot of other people thought the show was going to go, you know, with a way different intent, and we're not even going to give that any air. Because what I saw in the video of you, I saw a man with passion. Then I went back and I researched you, just like you did me. And, you know, watching your highlights, watching the aspect of what you bring to the cage, it's sheer domination. You know, at what time in your life did you have somebody step up to you as a mentor, as somebody that gave you the guidance that created you into, or even molded you into, the fighter you are today?
Well, he's a sergeant now of Battle Creek Police Force, but when I was a juvenile, when I was a young boy, I was probably like 13 or 14 years old, and I was getting sent to placement because my foster mom that adopted me when I was 6, she couldn't, I guess, control me or whatever, so I had to go out of the state, or out of away from Battle Creek or whatever. So I went to this placement home, and before I got sent away, because the day I got sent, they expected me to act out that night, and they had a juvenile home on lockdown, and I was known for acting out and being real real wild. So, and they was expecting me to act like that, and when he seen that, I didn't realize. I was so in my brain at the time, I didn't know what was going on. I wasn't even paying attention that the juvenile was on lockdown and that I was the only person out. I didn't know what was going on. But later on that night, when they walked me to my room, he let me know. He said, "Reese, you have the power to change and be whoever you want to be. So don't let people force you to do things that you don't want to do or that's not like you." You know what I'm saying? So at that moment, that's when I began to change myself and become somebody acceptable you know what I mean, somebody way more acceptable to society, because I was on a hard, long, dark road for at a young age. So I'm in a different place now, you know. So, and that's the person. That's the person I bring to the cage.
And that's what I admire most about you, you know.
And that's the person that people don't know, and that they wouldn't like, you know. So, and they wouldn't. And there's nothing nobody would be able to do about that person. So that's why I like being in the cage, because I can be the person that I really am. One punch, you know. So.
You know, matter of fact, I had a question in my green room from one of the listeners, and they actually wanted to know, where did the name One Punch come from, and who correlated that with you?
That's funny. Well, it was right before I accepted my professional contract with Mo Williams, and we was in my apartment. My friends and my girlfriend, my boy, my brother, Antonio Gray, and I had punched a cockroach and killed it. And it was like, and it died, and he called it One Punch. And he was saying One Punch all that day, because he was like, you've been watching, but you go One Punch anybody, he's like, you can really One Punch anybody. He made me believe that. And I had to think about everything I've been through. Like, anybody that really knows me know my hands is nasty. And I got the most power. I don't have, most people got like a grip punch, or they very technical, or they got a solid right, or they got a good left. God bless me with power in both my hands, and I can knock you out with the right and the left. It doesn't matter. So you're not going to stand up to too many of these punches. And if you do, man, I commend any man that can stand up to these, for real, because I promise you, you won't be the same. Anybody that's been punched by me, all you got to do is talk to them and ask them how they feel. They'll tell you, I don't make this up. This ain't no movie. This ain't no game. For real. The one punch is real. You can get caught with the right, the left, it don't matter. It don't matter. I'm going to drop you. You standing up to me toe-to-toe, you're going to get banged. I promise you. You're gonna get exactly what you're looking for. That's why I turn any stand-up fighter to a ground guy. I don't care who you are. With the right training, ain't nobody messing with me, man. I got the baddest hands in Michigan. That's why they trying to keep me on ice.
You know, and see, that's what I don't understand about this sport. You know, you look at, okay, you go to the Ultimate Fighter, the Battle of the Undefeated, you know, and a lot of fans, they see and they say what they want, but when you look at absolute fact, and you look at the fights that some of these fighters turned down, or some aspects why they didn't take a fight, and it's, truth be told, it's because they're afraid of fighters like you. They don't want their undefeated record to be tarnished.
They don't want to be tarnished. They don't want to be touched. Guys like me get put on ice and become beat up dummies, I guess that I should say. But I'm not. I'm one of the guys I ain't going for that. You know, I refuse to not be heard, and I refuse to not be seen.
Well, so, that's one of the main reasons why I want.
And
to
I don't
turn down.
And I turned down no fights. All my fights have been top 10 opponents. I haven't fought all the top 10 opponents in my state. So I fight the baddest guys even on King of the Cage. They're going to put me against their top 10 guys. So.
Yes, you know, even against David Newport, you know, there wasn't much that could be said in that fight either, bro. I mean.
Yeah, that was like 12 seconds of the first round.
It's like, do you feel me now? You know,
yeah. He's feeling me now. I think he's still working his real job. He ain't made a comeback. I ain't heard no noise. So.
You know, you remind me a lot of a young man that I had on my show many years ago, and that's Max Griffin. You know, he had fought on local promotions, regional promotions. He had proved himself, such as you have. And you know, one day he just got tired, and, you know, he was on the show, and he's like, bro, you know, I've done everything that I can, you know, in this sport. You know, I'm drawing the line in the sand now. You know, it's either I fight for the UFC or I don't fight again. And he stood his ground. Do you think that this is the pertinent time in your career to do that, to draw the line in the sand, because I think it is.
Well, yeah, because I get, like I said, I told people plenty of times, I'll fight anywhere. I'm open contract, and right now I'm out for the rest of this year till I'm thinking for real, because like I said, I'm coming off a torn meniscus, so I'm not fighting anywhere right now. But if I am going to fight, I'm trying to fight for somebody big. I'm not trying to be playing, scrapping around with no pennies. You know, I'm trying to get straight to it, and it's whatever. So yeah, most definitely, I feel like I'm drawing the line in the sand there. It's whatever. Cause I can't keep playing around. Cause I have done a lot. You're right. I have done a lot in the sport. I've done a lot in the sport. I done gave up a lot. And I done made a lot of sacrifices.
Yeah, and I think you deserve the opportunity, you know, in the right aspect, to step forward into the future on a bigger promotion. You know, you and I have spoke on that aspect, and I think I lost you. Let's go ahead and try to give One Puncher call back. I hope his phone didn't die. We'll get him back on.
Hello? I'm sorry.
Yeah, see, bro, you need to get rid of that Getro PCS phone, man. No, I'm joking.
No, I got an iPhone 8 Plus, man. And I don't know what happened. Somebody was calling in. I tried to disconnect them, but they had jumped on. I ended up hanging up on everybody, so I wasn't even trying to do that.
I'm just giving you a bad time, bro. I give James Krause a bad time. He owns like 3 or 4 Metro PCSs, and so we did a skit on him one time, and we told him that, you know, I did it in a, I guess the best way to say it would be in a person from Mexico's voice. And, you know, I told him some of the best pictures I've ever taken were from my Getro PCS phone. You know, I said I get to send it to my family and Michoacan, and it was hilarious, dude. But, you know, we like to give people bad times from time to time. But, you know, one thing I've taken away from our conversations over the last few days is how passionate you are and how given you are to the sport and how much it really, you know, reflects on you. You've taken the entire grunt of a community on your shoulders, and, you know, I will bring this aspect of what's transpired up over the last 3 days because I think it needs to be brought up. You know, you're an individual that believes in accountability. You're an individual that will stand up when others do things wrong. You know, you did a video this morning, you know, giving me credit for what I've done in the sport. And I want to let you know, bro, that really meant a lot to me. You know, that was very respectful. You did what many others should have done. What is it in the life of Reese Archer that has him giving back to so many when you grew up without anything at all?
I don't know. I guess it's just my human nature. I can't speak for anybody else's human nature because a lot of people don't have what you call common sense. And most people think they got common sense, don't really got common sense. They just got sense, you know. So it's a level to everything. It's a level to all type of knowledge if you really want to know what it is. But that's a different conversation in itself. So.
Well, you know, I didn't mean, I don't want to drive down that road, and I'm not meaning to. What I was trying to get at is you give back so much to so many individuals in this sport and in life, you know, but yet you've come from adversity. You know, at what point did you say, Reese, that, you know, it's time for me to man up, it's time for me to show the world who Reese Archer truly is, not just as a warrior, but as a man?
And when I was homeless, I was homeless several different times in my life, but the real time when I really, like, really felt it is when I was in Atlanta. And it was like, I was, like, in the middle of my amateur career, and I had went to Atlanta on some, like, fling stuff with a girl. And it's crazy how life works, because when you hit rock bottom and you run out of all options, you ran through all the doors, you don't got no more doors to run through. You ain't got no choice but to go up. So that's what pretty much happened to me when I finally realized I was on concrete, sleeping on the concrete, looking up at the stars. And I had to spend a couple of nights there. That was my reality. And that's when I knew I was better than where I was at. And that I can come back from this, and I'm going to shoot for the stars. And everybody that counted me out is going to pay.
You know, Reese, one of my main intents to get you on the show tonight was because I want to get Rich Show, Scott Coker, Ian Matthews kind of acclimated into knowing who you are, and other promotions in the sport into getting to know who you are. You know, I think we're at a crossroads in your career. I think the time is now for you to step up in a bigger promotion once you get over this injury. You know, I think you've proven time and time again that you're what the fans want to see, that you'll put asses in the seats, that the sport is truly more to you than just a sport. It's a way of life. When you look at how much passion you put into the sport, who are the people, you know, we already talked about the mentor at 14, but who are the people that consistently build Reese Archer up, the people that consistently reinstill the faith that, you know, you will be on top one day? Who are the people that truly back you, and what does it mean to you, my friend?
Man, the people that truly back me. The people that truly back me is my daughter, even though I know we haven't spoken in a while. I know my daughter loves me. No matter what we go through, I know at the end of the day, I will prevail. And my best friend, Jada. My best friend, Chris. My brother, he married my niece. We like childhood friends. And Nadia, they love me to death. And my brothers, I got a lot of brothers, but I'm not going to say all their names. the main ones that be around me on a daily basis, that constantly, that I build up, that they don't know they build me up, you know, and they make me a better man, is my boy Antonio Gray, Nick Gavin, UFB, United Boxing Champion, of Kalamazoo, welterweight, junior welterweight, that's what it is. Nick Gavin, I should say. And my brother, Archan Daly, my big brother, Archan Daly, I should say. Big little brother, Cookie Monster, that's my brother. And that's who, and my girl, Amanda Perkins, even though we always fight, I more look at her like she's my best friend for real. Even though, you know how girls are. That's just a different conversation. But
yeah, it truly is. You know, Reese. Yeah, it is. If you had to make a statement to the promotions that are listening to the show tonight on why they should bring Reese Archer into their promotion and why they should add you to, you know, that aspect of it, what would that statement be, bro?
I'm what the people want. I'm what the people need. You know, you put me on TV, I guarantee I'm gonna make a highlight reel every time. Every time I'm gonna make a highlight reel. Every time it's gonna be a highlight reel when I step in and out the cage. They're gonna be like, man, that guy is something else, you know? He's something special. Something special about that guy right there. That's what they gonna say, or they gonna hate me because my hands is nasty and I'm knocking anybody out. And if I don't knock you out, I'm going to beat you the fuck up. So people options can get it how they want it. You know what I mean? I'll dare any man to stand up. Stand up to me. You know, I dare you. Stand up to these punches. They're going to hurt, I promise. Like, it's real. People thought it was a good joke, but ain't nobody trying to get hit. It's all fun and games until you get punched in the mouth. And everybody know that, but I'm not. I didn't hear a lot of people say that, but I real deal. My hands is legit, and they certified. I've been doing this my whole life. I've been doing this since I was a kid. Knocking people out, they told me they paying people to do that. Man, these people don't know nothing about knockouts until you see me knock somebody out. I'm telling you. My knockouts is like one of a kind. You know when people used to fly all the way to Vegas to go see Tyson knock people out in 30 seconds? My knockouts is a lot faster than that. You know what I mean? So you better get your popcorn and be ready. Don't blink. You might miss something. For real. It's that fast. For real. And I ain't doing nothing to getting faster.
And I feel you on that. That's, like I said, that's one of the main reasons why I had you on the show tonight. You know, most people that acclimate themselves with me in the sport know that the people that I bring on my show are truly making a difference in the sport. And, you know, Reese, you truly have, and you to be commended on that. And on top of that, you're an articulate businessman who's got the respect of many in your state. You've got the respect of many in the sport. You know, bro, it was truly an honor for me to have you on the show tonight. You know, you're changing the way things should be, and you understand me on that point, and I'm not going to dig into it. But the thing of it is about you is you're real. You know, and that's a part of the sport that you truly don't find anymore. You get a lot of these young and, you know, up-and-coming fighters that are in the sport, and it's all about ego. Nothing of which you've ascertained on tonight's show. You spoke from your heart. You spoke about your love for the sport and what the sport truly means to you. And for that, I commend you, because in my eyes, you truly are a warrior. I think you deserve the best in the sport, and I'm going to do everything I possibly can to help you get there, because I believe in what you bring and what you believe in. And, you know, it takes a lot to overcome adversity. And it takes even much more to get where you have in life. And to show others and give gratitude to others like you do is a true trait of a true gentleman in what you are. You know, it's a blessing to have you on here. So I'm going to hand the microphone over to you, brother. If there's anybody that you would like to, before we get to your sponsors, but if there's anybody that you would like to thank that has truly backed you, stood by you, and tolerated you, I guess you could say, the best way to this point.
Yeah, the best way possible.
Yeah, you know, to this point in your career, what words of thanks would you give to them, bro?
I would tell them thank you and hold on, because I know it's been a long road, but we ain't done yet, and it can only get better from here.
Just getting started, brother, just getting started.
We're just getting started.
You know, I'm truly honored that you joined the show tonight, and, you know, I'm truly honored that you are a friend of mine in life now. You know, I'm gonna hand the microphone over to you. If you have any sponsors or friends or family, social media sites, or just anything else that you'd like to add to the program, the floor is yours, my friend.
All right. I'm going to give thanks to anybody that ever supported me, anybody that ever believed in me. I appreciate your love and support. Anybody that ever hated on me, I appreciate that too, because I need all that negative energy. I feed off of negative energy. I'm like Batman. I live in the dark, baby. So anybody that's hating, keep hating, baby. I need that. Don't stop. Don't stop the hating. Or if you want to be a fan, that's okay too. But don't stop. And to my sponsors, I would like to thank Hollister Photography and Advertising, Luxury Lifestyle and Company, Little Darlings Gentlemen Club, Deja Vu, Showgirls, and Oakland, what is it, Oaks Law Group, and PC.
Yeah. Now, where can my listeners and promotions and those types of people find you on social media?
So they can find you on Instagram, Snapchat, Facebook, Reese Archer on Facebook, R-E-S-E, capital A-R-C-H-E-R. Instagram is One Punch Killer Reese. That's my, and I got a YouTube channel too. You can subscribe to that. It's One Punch TV.
Cool.
My professional name. My professional name is Tyrese Archer. CARRESEARCHER.
You know, it's truly an honor to have you on, bro. I'll get with you probably in the next 15, 20 minutes after the show, and we'll talk about that other aspect. But, you know, I'm truly honored and privileged you came on the show tonight. You know, what you're doing in the sport, like I said, is profound. and we're going to get you to that next level. You know, I see something in you that I don't see in very many fighters, and I think you've got what it takes, and I think you've got the heart, not only of a gladiator, but a real man in your walk, and that truly inspires me to help you because, you know, there's not very many people that are real these days, and you truly are. On that note, I want to thank you, my homie, for coming on the show and sharing who you are. I look forward to having you on many more times in the future. You know, it's been a blessing having you on. I just want to thank you again and wish you the best of luck, and I'll be giving you a call here shortly, bro.
All right, thank you, brother. I appreciate you, too, and I'm very honored myself. Thank you, brother.
All right.
Stay blessed.
All right, man. You too, God bless you. Ladies and gentlemen, Reese One Hit Archer, a tremendous young man in the sport. You know, Bellator, you really need to look at this kid. He's a tremendous attribute to the sport. He's really humble. He's got that knockout power, man, you know, and I think he will sell a lot of seats. You know, he's a pretty hyped-up guy. He brings it real, and he doesn't play games. You know, I think he's a great asset from Michigan, and I truly love the guy, not just as a warrior, but as a brother. You know, on that note, I'm gonna take us out with a little bit of music from my homeboy from Philly, Deontay Boosie, the Young King, the 2017 People's Choice Artist of the Year. You know, it's better than a Grammy when the people choose you. On that note, let's rock out with the Young King. Have a good night, and God bless.
I'm in the booth, say something on the mic. Booth, say something heavy.
Whip for him, I get deported. Fish me alive, less than anointed. Broke this at 111, recorded. Clock struck 12, bank on Warner. Might sound with Stoney just for some stock, nigga. Still independent.